All right, so I'm going to talk about, for one more week on this topic of resistance that I've been talking about for 2 weeks. And I really think that today is the perfect close to this little mini series. And I know that, you know, you're like, oh my God, another message on it. But I believe this is really important. And you'll see a little bit later in my message that the saints and the apostles of the New Testament, they understood it. And somewhere from the New Testament church to where we are today, especially in America, now this really doesn't apply to some believers that are being persecuted. I mean, to even have a whisper that they're reading the Bible or they own a Bible is a sentence of death. These messages, they get what I'm talking about. But somewhere in the American church, I believe, from the New Testament church to where we are today, we look at suffering and this thing we're calling resistance, we view it differently than they did in the New Testament. And I'm going to talk about that for just one more Sunday. And so just, if you'd be patient with me and just love on me and allow me to finish this out, I love this message. I can't wait to speak it. So grab some notes, notepad, paper. If you're online, take some notes on this one. It's very applicable for us today, okay? So we've been reading the Apostle Peter's writing in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, where he writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." That was the first week's message. "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you." That was last week's message. So today I want to talk about rejoicing in the test to close this mini-series on resistance. And I've made it very clear, I've been very direct, very poignant, in my last two messages, that we will experience fiery trials. If you signed up to be a Christian, if you said yes to Jesus, you're going to experience fiery trials. And we are called to rejoice. Rejoice. But let's learn something. Listen, we don't rejoice that we have to go through things. There's a proper place where we put our rejoicing. We don't rejoice at the trial. We don't rejoice the fiery ordeal that we go through. You know, it's like, thank you, God, I'm rejoicing right now because this is the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through this. No. Thank you, God, that I'm rejoicing that I have to go through the fire, Lord. And God, I like fire and I love feeling like I'm getting burned to a crisp here through this fiery ordeal. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going through this. I thank you for this fiery ordeal. God, I just love emotional and mental pain. God, I love betrayal. Lord, I love suffering. I love persecution. Bring me more. I rejoice in that. No, we don't do that, right? No, we don't rejoice at the trial. We rejoice because of what we discovered last week. We rejoice because through these things, we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Because of Christ and Christ in us, we share his sufferings. And then because of that, we identify with Jesus Christ. And we learn that if we share his sufferings, we'll also share in his glory now and for eternity. That's why we rejoice. We rejoice in that. And that leads to joy in the Lord. We rejoice when Jesus is revealed in all of his glory, and it's going to be worth it. Remember Romans 8. Verse 18, and today I want to bring it a step further. We rejoice in God. No matter what the fire is, no matter how deep the water is, no matter how intense the suffering or the emotional and mental, you know, toil that's going on, you rejoice in God. You rejoice that He's in control, that He knows what He's doing, that He is sitting on the throne, that His plans for us are good, that He really knows us to the very core of our being, and that He will provide for us. We learned those. Yeah, it's good. And we learned those three things two Wednesday nights ago at the message with Robert Morris. And we rejoice in what I'm going to talk about this morning from our text. It's quite incredible, although very painful sometimes, but very incredible. And make no mistake, please don't misunderstand me these past weeks as I've talked about, you know, what we're calling resistance in our lives or fiery trials and ordeals that we go through. They're not easy. I don't ever mean to just make light of these things. There are often tears that stream down our faces. There are questions that arise to the Lord in our prayer times. Did I mention tears streaming down our face? I think I did. Often there are super long nights and super long days. There are moments when we just seem like we are at our very breaking point. So I've not meant to minimize anything. Fiery trials and fiery ordeals, they're not easy. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I don't mean to minimize them in any way these past few weeks, you know, like they are just, you know, oh, we can rejoice and, you know, just casually dismiss them with the wave of our hand of faith, you know, and like, it's not going to touch me, you know. I'm a super Christian. Fiery trial, I get it. So, yeah. No, they do touch us. They do affect us deeply. Often very excruciatingly. That's why the Apostle Peter refers to them as fiery trials, fiery ordeals. He could have used the Greek words for flowers or soft cotton here, right? Like, don't be surprised when you go through flowery trials, trials consisting of soft cotton. He didn't use that, did he? He used the word for fire. Suffering, trials, tribulation, persecution, spiritual attacks, and spiritual assaults in this war that we are in. Those are tough words. Those are hard words. I don't often quote scripture from Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase of the Bible. He was a pastor and a Greek scholar, and he wanted to paraphrase the Bible. Making it just very, I mean, it's the very basic of plain, you know, English, so his congregation could understand. But I really like how Eugene Peterson paraphrased the Apostle Paul's talk of the spiritual war that we're up against in Ephesians 6. It's Ephesians 6, chapter 10, verse 13. God is strong and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. I mean, that paraphrases our war so much. It's a struggle game. The Christian walk, like I said in the first message, it's not an Instagram story or a Snapchat picture that you take and then fades away. No. It's hard and it's tough. And believers and church members, especially in America, have been sold an easy gospel. An easy gospel for years that doesn't even fit or equate with what we read and see in the New Testament saints' experience. But it sells. It sounds nice and it's easy and people run to that message, right? But that's not the writing of the New Testament, where the writers speak of faith and trials and tribulation and sufferings and the fiery ordeals. But we have hope, right? Because we know the Lord and we have the Lord and we rejoice in Him. We rejoice in Him even during the storm. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 3, they decided to worship God and rejoice in the Lord while they were in the fiery furnace instead of disobeying God and bowing down and worshiping the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that fire was so hot, it consumed the guards that threw them in the fire. But Jesus was with them in the fire and they worshiped Him in the furnace. They didn't just worship Him outside. Have you ever noticed in that story? They worshiped Him in the fire. Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, worshiped and rejoiced in the Lord in Daniel chapter 6. And you, most of you know where he was. He was in a den or a cave surrounded by hungry lions. I mean, talking about your trials, sufferings, and troubles. You know, you're talking about a fiery furnace that burned humans practically instantaneously and a cave or a den of ravenous lions. Dude. I mean, no, they don't get much more intense than that. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and his buddy Silas were thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon. They were shackled. They were naked. They were bloody and beaten close to death. What do we find them doing? Rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. Now, were the three Hebrew guys and Daniel and Paul and Silas rejoicing at their circumstance? Thank you, Lord, for this fiery furnace. Man, it's toasty in here, Lord. Woo! You know, I feel like a s'more in here, God. Thank you. It's great. Lord, thank you. These hungry lions are looking at me like I'm a raw porterhouse steak. Super rare done. Lord, we rejoice at this dank and dark, dungy dungeon. No, they rejoiced in the Lord. In the Lord, even in the middle of it all. Look at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what He went through. But His eyes were on the Father. And He rejoiced in His Father, right? I mean, that's the point this morning. We rejoice in our Heavenly Father who is with us and will see us through everything. Even in the tears, even in the questions, even in the suffering, we rejoice in the Lord. I came across a song this week, first time I ever heard it, as I was playing an artist radio station on Spotify. And the lyrics were just so powerful to me, and it speaks to what I just talked about. It's a song called You Already Know by an artist by the name of J.J. Heller, and she sings it very beautifully. Look at the lyrics. Everything around me seems uncertain. My weary heart can't take much more surprise. I wish there was a point on the horizon, something I could see with my own eyes. I need to tell you that I'm scared. I feel completely unprepared, and nothing's what it was 2 weeks ago. But you already know. You already know everything I'm scared of, everything I hope. You hold my tomorrow and all tomorrow holds. You already know. I can't seem to find the easy answers. Someday I hope the suffering makes sense. I just need to know that you're with me, even if you keep me in suspense. But you already know. You already know. You hold my tomorrows and everything my tomorrows hold. You already know. That is the truth. Can you allow that to speak into your heart this morning? He already knows. And He holds it all in His hand. He holds our tomorrows. He holds our todays. And sometimes you can't even think about tomorrow because today is so difficult, right? So He doesn't just hold tomorrow, He holds your todays, and we rejoice in that. 2 Peter 2:9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Our God knows how to deliver us. He knows how to rescue us, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 41:10, the prophet speaking, the Lord speaking through the prophet says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And you know when he does that? It's when we are in the fiery ordeals and the fiery trials. But often we make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm going through this stuff over here and God's hand is over there. No, it's not. You know, and then when we're like not going through anything, that's when we're in God's hand. No, he is holding us when we are in the fiery furnace, when we are in the den of lions, when we are in the dark dungeon, when we are facing persecution and suffering, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus did. That's when he holds us. And if you have nothing else to rejoice in, that's what you rejoice in. That's what Peter is talking about. Rejoice in that. But a question can rise up in our hearts and minds. We dealt with it a little bit the first week, but I'm taking it to another level today. Why? Why? Why face fiery ordeals? Why resistance? Why does it have to be this way? Why can't God just, you know, go ahead of us and, you know, you guys know, you've been in a boat and it just parts the water and the water just, why can't he just go ahead of us and everything just gets out of the way, you know? And we just sail behind him. That would be easier, sure. Why do we have to go through fiery ordeals? You know, in the first couple of weeks, the big reasons, you know, we talked with it, this is the way we gain strength, we gain spiritual muscles, glory and joy are coming, you know. But there's a more present reason that really gets to the very core of our being. And even though it's painful, it's pretty cool. Peter mentions it in our text in verse 12. Why? Because it's a test. It's a test. Look what he writes in verse 12. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. He could have just said, hey, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Instead, rejoice. No, he says, to test you. Many people, I mean, they dreaded testing in school. Dreaded testing in education, or if you're, you know, testing for a job or a career, right? You know, you dread it. People, the majority of them seem not to like test. I've not met too many people in my life on this planet who just love testing. They wake up in the morning, the first words out of their mouths are, today is test day! Let's get it done! Woohoo! Right? I can't wait. They get to their classmates, their coworkers, and they're like, yippee, tested! I'm so excited to take this test today. Was anybody like that? I didn't think so. If you were online, comment and brag about it because you're in the rarity, right? You know, Miss Kim, you're a teacher. Any of your kids ever come in your history and be like, Miss Kim, I'd love to take a test. Can I take it right now? Having their mom and dad text you late at night, you know, he's so pumped up about his test. We can't get him to sleep. No, we don't like testing. Do the very nature of the word itself. Testing is meant to be difficult because testing serves a purpose. Test is defined as a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it's taken into widespread use. A procedure used to thoroughly see what you are made of. To see what you know. To see if you are ready. And we don't like that, do we? We don't like that. And guys, it's the same spiritually. The Greek word that the Apostle Peter uses in his letter here is the Greek word perosmos, and it means a putting to proof. A putting to proof. 1 Peter 4:12, I like how the Amplified brings out the Greek essence of the word. Do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality. Look, guys, being a Christian is not just about coming in on Sunday morning, turning on this live stream. We go through test. God wants to test our quality. He wants to prove us. And that's what's going on. These sufferings, fiery trials and ordeals and the like. They are testing your quality as a believer. Testing you as a child of God. They have a big purpose. That's what the Greek word Peter uses indicates. That these trials are divinely permitted or they're divinely sent in order to prove or test with good or neutral significance. They measure how strong our faith is. They grow our faith in God. They prove our faith and they attract others to Christ as they see us being steadfast in Jesus Christ. They measure, they grow, they prove, they attract. You know, and there's so many examples in the Word of God of this from believers and saints in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's just too many to list. There's too many to talk about. That seems to be the saints and believers' stories in the Old Testament and New Testament. They were constantly going through a proving. They were constantly going through a refinement. They experienced testing of every kind. And they were refined, they were challenged, they were proven, and they were changed for the Lord. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Can't we start to see things through like the Old Testament and the New Testament saints who went before us? They understood the purpose of this testing. Why can't we? They understood what the tests were all about. Just study God's word. Read with me Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. The patriarch Abraham was tested. Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job writes, but he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure gold. When he tests me, Psalms 26, verse 2, prove me, O Lord, try me, test my heart and mine. In the New Testament, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 7 and verse 10, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, punishes those each one accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God's treating you as his own children. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. Look at another excerpt from the Apostle Peter's writing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. In this you rejoice now, though, for a little while if necessary. You've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though it perishes, is tested by fire. It may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that's a lot of scriptures that we just read, but isn't that incredible? There's a concurrent theme throughout all the Old Testament into the New Testament that these saints and believers experienced testing. They expected it, gang. Because they knew what the result would be. My goodness, we even read David was praying for it. Test me, Lord. Prove me. Prove my heart. They knew that this testing would refine them and change them. And according to scripture, for the believer, this is a good thing. Testing is a good thing because God, our Heavenly Father, is changing us through His Holy Spirit. He's the great potter and we are the clay, right? And He's forming us and He's shaping us and then reshaping us. He may even put it in the kiln, right? And then if it's impure, break it down and redo it again. We may not like that, but that is a miraculous thing. It's a miraculous thing. I know that's not popular preaching. That's not going to get 10,000, 1 million followers and likes, you know. Testing is a good thing for you. Click, never mind. I don't want to listen to that. That's biblical. That's Old Testament and that's New Testament right there, gang. That's so true. You know, things that we experience that God allows and uses us to prove what we've got. To test if we really get it. To test our spiritual mettle, so to speak. To test and prove what we've got going on inside of our hearts. I know I don't want to stay the same. Do you? Are you satisfied spiritually with where you are right now? You shouldn't. I want to continue being tested and baking until I'm done. I mentioned baking there. It's a good illustration. How many of you have baked a cake or some muffins or some cornbread before? Anybody in here? Yeah. You know, right before that oven's about to ding that they're done, what do you typically do, right? You pull it out and you grab a fork, you grab a toothpick, huh? Is there a picture? Yeah, right there. And you stick that thing in there, right? And you pull that thing out. It's all mooey and gooey and gushy. You're like, nope, she ain't done. You push it back in the fire. Gang, that's testing. That's testing. It's got to take that spiritual fork, put it in their heart. Well, they're not done. That's a great illustration. You know, you put it back in. You know, we have to start viewing fiery ordeals and fiery trials like the New Testament apostles viewed them. Not by the feel-good preachers on your favorite podcast. Don't get me wrong. They'll say great things. I love it. They pump us up for sure. I like it too. I listen a lot, but it's only half the story. It's a lean diet of scripture. The Old Testament, New Testament writers wrote about testing in life and proving in life because they knew it was for a good purpose. How many of you guys remember growing up and watching, you know, you'd turn on the TV and you'd actually watch a TV show with commercials? I mean, it's so foreign what I'm about to say right now, you know. Many of you will get it, but if you're under the age of a certain amount, you'll like, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. How many of you ever recall that maybe you're into your favorite cartoon? I watched a lot of cartoons. Anybody? Thank you, Chad, for helping me out. Yeah, good. I was a cartoon fanatic, right? All of a sudden, the TV picture went blank. An annoying ringing sound came across the air, and a little voice came from the speaker, and you know, the message on your screen, you know, it's like, we interrupt this programming for a test of the emergency broadcasting system, right? This is only a test. You know, it seemed like it lasted forever. Give me back to Woody Woodpecker, you know, or Three Stooges, Tom and Jerry, the Justice League. Oh, I can go on. But there's that. It's a test, right? And it would say, this is only a test. This is only a test. That's it. Gang, our lives get interrupted sometimes very suddenly, even without notice, by test. The ordinary programming of our lives gets interrupted by testing from the Lord. And we have to remind ourselves, this is a test. It's only a test. Lord, prove me. Lord, change me. Can you understand that? Can you see that this morning online? It's only a test. Peter did. The Apostle Paul did. James did. They understood the testing. So did Abraham and Job and King David and Daniel and the three Hebrews and John and the other disciples, other people in the Old Testament. I could list character after character after character who understood the testing. Jesus himself did. It's time we stop looking at these tests in our lives as strange and unusual, as Peter writes in our text, and know what they're for, and even hit our knees and pray, Lord, change me. Grow me, Lord. Because during testing and trials, whatever's inside is going to come right out. What happens if I should have brought up one of those goofy illustrations, right? But what if I had a bowl of water and I took a sponge and I soaked it in there? What's going to happen? That sponge is going to soak up the water, right? What will happen when I squeeze that sponge with everything I've got? With, I mean, like superhuman strength. all that water, whatever's inside of that sponge, is going to come out. That's a perfect illustration of testing. Testing. What's inside is going to come out. Man, I absolutely love Pastor Tony Evans. Some of the guys, we've watched some of his videos on Wednesday night. The women have listened to his daughter and done some Priscilla Shirer videos. He's an amazing man of God. He is so awesome. And if you'll give me a little license, there's a great illustration about this. If you'll give me license just to read it verbatim, listen to this. Automakers will put two dummies in a car and ram it into a wall. There will be one dummy behind the wheel and one dummy on the passenger side. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to call you guys dummies or nothing like that. That's not the point. Listen. The goal for the auto manufacturer is not to be mean to their vehicles. They're testing them. They want to see how much their vehicles can take. They want to find out where the flaws are that need to be corrected. They want to see how much their cars can stand, with the ultimate goal being to make a better car. Well, he does say this. Some of us are just dummies. There we are, right? We get rammed into the wall and we think that God's trying to mess us up when he's simply trying to make us better Christians. He lets us run into the wall so we can identify our flaws. He shows us things about ourselves, things we said we'd never do. Bam, language we said we'd never use. Bam, places we said we'd never go. Bam, he allows us to see our own imperfections so that we realize we're not like him as much as we thought we were. God allows us to have encounters that show us our need for him. Musicians, if you guys want to come up, ministers, closing, yeah. I mean, that's so great, and that's so very true, and it's so very convicting. How many times have I been tested or I've been squeezed, and what comes out was nothing like the character of Christ? Too often, too many times when I've been squeezed and pressured, what came out was nothing like Jesus Christ. Lord, change me. Lord, prove me and test me. I remember, my goodness, one time, well, not one time, it was when I had my heart surgery, I went home for convalescence and recovery. I just love that word, convalescence. That's the right use of that, right? Yeah, I think so. Oh, well. Does anybody know? And I'm sitting there at home, and man, I vividly remember it now. I mean, that was a testing. But man, I got such a horrible, rotten attitude. You say, well, Greg, you were, you know, in recovery. You sawed your chest open, and you know, you were dead for 2 seconds, literally, a couple seconds. Then unpleased me. I think about that even today, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. That wasn't your characteristics. And that's what happens, gang. Sometimes our focus is wrong. We view the test and trials wrong, and so when we're squeezed, what comes out doesn't please God. Or the way we start living, you know, being controlled by certain emotions, or being, you know, held captive by certain things that we're going through. And that's not of Christ. That's not of God. That's not of his word. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? You've been there? I thought you have. I know you have. And it's time like that. That's when the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. And that's when we go to the Lord and we repent and ask forgiveness and ask him to change our hearts once again. And there's that cycle of proving. So that testing can work in our hearts. The Holy Spirit can use it to work in us, to change us, to be more like Christ. And these fire ordeals, gang, they should get us closer to the Lord. That would be the ultimate result, is a deeper relationship with the Lord. And he takes us into another level with him. I mean, in Genesis 28, the Old Testament Jewish patriarch Jacob, he was having a very, very difficult time. It got so hard that one night he found himself alone. He was tired. It was so bad, he took a rock and made that as his pillow. You may recall the story. It's in Genesis 28. But God visited him that night And what we see is he took that rock and he turned it into an altar. And he praised the Lord. So that hard, real difficult place for him became a moment where he got close to the Lord. Pastor Jeremy Foster, he's on YouTube a lot, he said in one of his sermons, it's the hard places that should get us to drop on our knees and seek God. And yeah, that sounds obvious, right? Oh, that's an obvious statement. Wow, that's no theological deep. Then why don't we do it more? Right? You know, we just sang the song with the lyrics this morning. This is how I fight my battles. And that's it. We rejoice in God. We rejoice in Him. We let Him test us and prove us and change us. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Don't let your tests and trials, these things, define you. Let them refine you, because that's the very essence of what a test means. It's a refining. It's a refining. And it's time that we, especially in the American church, start seeing it that way. I'm done this morning, but just let me say this. Pastors all over say that all the time. You know? I'm done, but just let me say this one more thing that's going to take 30 minutes. No. But this is key. Of course, they always say that too, right? Sorry, I grew up in the pastoral home. I know all the tricks. No. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament apostles and believers, they didn't try to escape fiery ordeals. They embraced them. They embraced the suffering because they knew they'd grow stronger. They could rejoice because they'd experience and share in God's glory and in and through Christ. And they knew it would all lead to joy. So they embraced it. They embraced their suffering. They didn't flee from it. They embraced it. And I don't see too many people in the church who are really embracing the resistance. And so we try to avoid it at all costs. I'm not saying we go out and look for, you know, suffering hunt me down because I'm ready to be tested. I'm looking for it. No, the apostles wanted to embrace suffering because they saw their master suffer, Jesus Christ. And they wanted to identify with him. And they knew that if suffering was a tool, suffering was a tool that could even teach Jesus. And we see that in Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. They knew that if that could teach Jesus, and they knew that their suffering was suitable to teach them as well. They knew that Jesus was their master. And in John 15:20, they remember that he said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. And so they could identify with Jesus. So they recognized fiery trials were coming. They would have to experience them, and they embraced them because they had eyes of faith that looked beyond what they were experiencing and going through. And it's time that we take that look as well. We look beyond what we experience and go through and see the real reasons, and we rejoice for glory and joy are coming. There's a lady one time flying. How many hate to fly? Yes. You hate to fly? Oh, yeah, she does. She does, that's right. She thinks there's a concurrent dream a plane's going to come and land on her. My wife, Megan, pray for her. She's flying next weekend, or two weekends. There was a lady one time who was flying, nervous as can be. I mean, as the plane was going up, I mean, she's sweating, just shaking. She had to control her breathing. She looked over, you know, next to her, this little kid, and just having a blast, and just, oh, yeah. And she's like, kid, how could you have so much fun? I'm a nervous wreck. What's wrong with you, kid? How come you're not scared like I am? I said, lady, I don't have to be scared. My dad is the pilot, and he's going to take care of us. He's going to land us safely. Gang, that's us. We may face some turbulence on this flight, but we know that our father's the pilot, and he's going to land us safely, right? It's time that we take the Old Testament and New Testament attitude towards these things and look beyond what we experience and go through to see the real reasons, and we rejoice in that. Be encouraged. Be encouraged this morning. Online watchers, be encouraged. What you're going through, It's not unusual. It's a normal part of the Christian walk. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God's with us. And he'll help us through these fiery ordeals. Amen. Listen, I just want to take us some time. Man, I want us to take some time. Find a place to pray like we've done the last couple of weeks. Just spend time with you and the Lord. Online, do this. Right there in your home, your car, wherever you're watching. Maybe you're in a hotel room. You're in Florida. Please let me come with you. Let's pray. You can come and pray up here. Pray at your seat. I love coming forward. It's just a step of, you know, just, it's like taking a step toward the Lord. I love that visual part of it. But let's take us a few more moments and just seek God. And maybe you need him just to lay his hand upon you. Man, I saw the coolest TikTok video, two of them yesterday I've ever seen in my life. One was a young lady who knelt down to pray, and another was a guy who knelt down to pray, and all of a sudden, like these colors changed, and it was Jesus, and he's laying his hands on them. Oh, I was like, that's so cool. That's it. Let's find a place, and let's allow the Lord to lay his hand upon us this morning. And give us strength to help us through our fiery ordeals and our testing. Maybe you're watching and you need to make Jesus your Savior. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Believe in your heart on him. Let him save your soul today. You're going to spend eternity in heaven, or you'll spend it in a hell that was created for the devil and rebellious angels. Turn to Christ. Look to him. Don't turn off that stream without saying, Lord, forgive me. Be my Savior. I make you my Lord. I call you my Lord. I want to live for you. Forgive me, Jesus. Come on, let's spend time with the Lord today.